الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر ففروا إلى الله إني لكم منه نذير مبين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Respected ulama, elders, brothers in Islam, just as a reminder, today is the Mubarak and blessed day of Jumu'ah, and one special action to be recited on the day of Jumu'ah is that of salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we're in the environment here, easy for a person to recite. We should make it our habit. It is our duty, a responsibility to convey salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his great favors upon us. And in one way, as our Hazrat teaches us, that this is a form of saying jazakallah, it's a form of saying thanks to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his favors. We can never repay him for any of his favors. That is one way of just showing our gratitude, appreciation. So we should always make it a habit every day in our life to take out some time and to recite salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Minimum we should be reading 100 times a day. So Hazrat says as a starter pack, if a person is not reading at all, at least start over 10 in the morning, 10 in the evening. By means of this, a person will get the intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. And on the day of Jumu'ah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us, increase, recite abundance of salawat upon me. In one hadith he says, the one who will be closest to me in rank on the day of Qiyamah will be the one who recited the most amount of salawat and durood upon me in this world. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in that hadith, or there is another hadith, if a person will read 80 times durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-salatu alayya nurun ala sirat. When you will recite durood sharif, it will be a means of light for you on the pool sirat, on the bridge over Jahannam. This will be a means of light for a person. The munafiqin will be deprived of light, but by reading salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person will get a lot of light. So this light will help him in the grave, and especially on the bridge over Jahannam, it will help him. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the same hadith says, whoever reads 80 times durood on Friday upon me, 80 years of his sins will be forgiven. So 80 times you can recite. And then a person will read 100 times. Our Kabir especially encourages us after Asr, Salat on the day of Jumu'ah, the durood also which should be recited after. So by reading that 80 inshallah, a person will be saved from, he will get 80 years of sins forgiven. Then if a person reads 100 times durood, the hadith it comes, that if a person reads 100 times durood, salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 100 needs of his will be fulfilled. 30 regarding this world, and 70 with regards to the year after. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the durood is presented to me, I write down the name of that person and his father, and I keep it in a white book by me. And then Kabir mentioned also, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, used to encourage his students, read 1,000 times salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Friday. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin Nabi al-Ummi. Read 1,000 times. There was one person by the name of Khalad ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi. He was in the throes of his death, about to pass away. So they found one paper under his headside. It was written there, the death is barat and freedom from the fire of Jahannam. So they asked the wife, what special action did he do? See, on the day of Jumu'ah, he was very particular, 1,000 times durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Haji Farooq sahab rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned one incident, that there was one pious person, and he had heard this narration, that who reads 1,000 times salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Jumu'ah, he won't leave this world until he sees his place in Jannah. So it was his habit every week. So once he became very ill, and the family gave up hope, they came to visit him. But he told them, no, I never see my place in Jannah as yet. What I've heard from our elders, I've got full conviction in this. So I haven't seen my place in Jannah as yet. So inshallah, I don't think I will pass away this time. So as he had said, Alhamdulillah, I came out of the sickness. And after some while, he called his family members and said, last night I had a dream and I saw my place in Jannah. So I think I'll be leaving this world very soon. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Every Jumu'ah, we make it our habit try to, if we cannot reach 1,000, then there is virtue for 100 at least. If we can't read 100 also, at least 80 we can recite. But inshallah, we should always try for the best and for the highest. And how long does 1,000 times duru take? Maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And what great, great virtues a person will get. And the greatest thing is the closest thing is the closest to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. The intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah grant myself and all of us a tawfiq to bring durood into our lives and to spread it to others also, to encourage other people also to recite salawat and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we will be speaking about today, inshallah, is that the object of our life is, what is the object of our life? We have come in this world to build our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine a person comes here and he does everything of this world, but he did not connect himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then really, even if he got Jannat is very, very great, and a person will make efforts for Jannah also. But higher than Jannat is the creator of Jannat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person came in this world, he made so much of effort for things of this world. Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Afzal Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say, he said that our body is made of sand. And everything in this world is sand. So if a person is making effort on sand, so the final result of sand upon sand is sand. Sand plus sand is sand. Say your houses are made of sand. Your cars are made of sand. They come from the ground. The food you have got is made of sand. The clothing you are wearing is made from the sand. All comes from the ground. The money you got is sand. All of these things is made of sand. So you add sand to sand, you'll get nothing. There's no value in that at all. But you connect our hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is al-hayyul qayyum. Allah is living forever and forever. So a person who connects his heart to something which is living, inshallah Allah will give that person life forever and forever. Ever, ever. For example, easy example we give is normally if a person has got a fridge in the house, but the fridge is dead. But when you connect the fridge to the plug point and there's life in there, there's current inside there, then the fridge comes to life. There's benefit, people get benefit from it. So when man is connected to everything else in this world, there's no real benefit a person can derive from him. But when he's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is living forever and forever, then this person becomes beneficial in this world also. He has true life in the qabr also, and life in the everlasting life of the year after. That person who connected his heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is actually why we have come in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a successful person is he who has purified himself, purified his heart, taken out the filth and dirt from his heart. He makes the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he performs salat. Really, salat is such a great gift which Allah Ta'ala, we have been granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because salat is actually connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some ulama say salat comes from the word silatun, and silatun means to join. So it joins the banda and the servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah has given us in this world a very easy means of connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of salat. Really, this is a very, very great gift, because we just perform salat as a duty. But in actual fact, it's connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to make effort. As Imam Musulah rahmatullah has mentioned in one kitab, that there are 7 stages of salat. We're not even in the first stages yet, but we have to make effort on our salat. And eventually the last stage of salat is where du'ilat qurratu ayni fi salat. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the enjoyment of my eyes is in salat. When people are saying, let us get tired now, we want to rest. As Imam Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi went someplace, he said, we're very tired now, let's leave salat. Our tiredness will go away. Because there was enjoyment in that, the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what a person has to make effort for, that we have to build up the connection, the aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really the great gifts Allah ta'ala will grant to a person who has become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran Sharif, Allah mentions, لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. There is no fear for them, there is no grief for them. And this especially will be at the time, even in this world also, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows Switzerland to make a watch which is waterproof. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi used to say that Allah Ta'ala is the same being who can make the heart to be ghamproof, wari proof. That the biggest amount of worries can be around him. But this person doesn't go through depression, he doesn't go through these problems and that thing of life. Problems come to every person, even to the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. Sahaba, the test they went through, if it happened to somebody in today's time, if you look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many, all his family members, his 2 wives passed away in his life, and Hazrat Khadija was very close to him. His three daughters passed away in his lifetime. His uncle passed away in his lifetime. And so many other things, halat and conditions overcame him. If it was one of us, we would have been in a mental hospital long time ago. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, great, great difficulties, stress, examinations Allah gave. They saw their own families being murdered in front of them. But they never go into depression. They never go into all of these things. Why? Because ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah looks after the heart of this person. Allah ta'ala protects the person. So this is, which the Quran Sharif says, that the awliya Allah, they will get this. And at the time of death especially, which is the most important thing, in the qabr, on the day of qiyamah, where Allah ta'ala will protect, the person, the angels will come and give glad tidings. لا تخافوا, ولا تحزنوا. No fear for you. No grief for you. Be happy, Allah has given you Jannat. Can you imagine how much of enjoyment a person will get at that time? And even in this world, Allah Ta'ala will look after that person who builds up his connection and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how will a person build up this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Hazrat Mawlana Shaki Muhammad Aftir Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he was in South Africa. So before the one of the last majalis, in one of his safars when he had made, he mentioned four points. He said, you do these four things, then he said, I guarantee you. He said, I say with yaqeen and conviction, that you will become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only a wali of Allah, you will make other people awliya also. See, if you got these four things you have to do. And then he said, note karo usko, write it down also, or convert karo. And he said, translate it into English also, and spread it in South Africa and in the whole world. These four advices. And he says, these four things, if a person will do, he'll become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, the first thing is, Ahlullah say musahabat. Always stay in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to always keep yourself in the right suhbat and company. Ar-rajulu ala deen khalilihi. A man will be on the deen of his friend. فَلْيَنْذُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ. Every one of you must look who his friend is. So if you've got the right friend, the right company we are staying in, and this inshallah will help a person very greatly. We stay in the company of the awliya Allah. We notice just sitting in the company, like in the month of Ramadan, we are sitting here. We get a shock and desire for akhirat. We think about the year after. It creates that fervor within a person. We start seeing our faults, our weaknesses. So this has very, very great power. There's a famous story of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangoi, rahmatullah alayhi. So he was an alim, very great alim also. He used to sleep only, eight hours of the day was only for his basic necessities, sleeping, eating, salat and everything. And 16 hours of the day was for his mutala and studying his kitab. So 16 or 18 hours. And the other 6 hours was for his basic necessities. That's how his student days were spent. Full dedication. And so much of his taqwa, piety. But after qualifying, he still felt the need, I have to go to a great wali of Allah, Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullah alayhi. He took bayat at his hand. And he started the stages of suluk, going closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyhow, he stayed for a long time in the company of Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah alayhi. Say about first 18 years of his life, he was always in and out, going for the majali, sitting in the company of Haji Imdadullah rahmatullah alayhi. Haji Sahib eventually went to Makkah Mukarramah. And then, after many years, he wrote to Hazrat Gangoi rahmatullah alayhi, that, no, you haven't written any letters to me. So Hazrat Gangoi rahmatullah alayhi wrote a letter to him, say, what can I write about my condition? But he said, Hazrat, because of staying in your suhbat, in your company, three qualities have come into me, which I find within myself. And if we also sit in the company of the awliya Allah, these qualities will come into us. So he says, the first quality I got is, I've got no doubt in any matters of deen. In any matters of knowledge, everything is open and clear to me. I've got no doubt at all. Today many people say, I've got a lot of doubts about deen. This doesn't make sense. One of the reasons of our doubts is the company we are keeping. If you keep a wrong company, and the food you eat, this has an effect upon a person. It creates doubts in a person, a lot of doubts. A person gets, but when a person sits in the company of the awliya Allah, one very pious person, in Jamaat, like in Jannatul Firdaus, I think it was like the Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. So he had some connection with the Maududi group before he joined Mullah Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi. So that time there was a big masala of there's no life in the qabr, in the grave. So he also had some doubts about it. So somebody said, go and meet Mullah Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi. So he went by Mullah Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi. He was sitting behind him. And Mullah Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi finished his namaz. And he just turned around and looked at him and he told him, qabr haq hai. The life of the qabr is a reality. You see, my doubts went away from my house completely. I never ever got doubts about the qabr and the life of the qabr after. So the suhbat of the awliya Allah removes doubts from a person's heart. So this is one thing he said, my knowledge, I've got no doubt in any matters of deen. Second thing he says, that shariat has become my tabiat yasaniya. It has become my second nature. I get enjoyment in making ibadat. To do commit guna and sin is difficult for me. But to do good actions is easy. It has become my second nature. So normally for us, guna is enjoyable to us, sin is enjoyable to us, and good actions is difficult to perform salat. But it has to change. And this was the sahaba, Allah mentions about them. ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. When Sahaba said in the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah made Iman beloved to them, A'mal beloved to them, and fisk and kufr and disbelief became hated in their sight, disliked in their sight. So Hazrat Ibn Ghoy rahmatullah alayhi, this is the second benefit I got by sitting in your company, that good actions has become my second nature. And the third thing he says is that madah and zam is barabar. People praising me or people dispraising me, it doesn't make a difference to my life. My only object of life is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does my Allah ta'ala say? Will Allah be happy with me or not? Be happy with me or not? I don't worry about what the people say. So Hazrat Daniel rahmatullah alayhi, he wrote a footnote on the siyah, and he said that Hazrat Gangoi rahmatullah alayhi, in all three aspects, in iman also, in ilm, in amal and ikhlas, in ilm also he reached the highest level that he had no doubt at all in any matters of deen. Amal also he reached the highest level where the shariat becomes your second nature, to perform ibadah becomes part of your nature. And the highest level of ikhlas he reached where a person praising him or dispraising him, he then meant nothing at all to him. So all the three levels of deen, he had got the highest levels of this year. And this was because of the suhbat of the salihin, of the pious people. So Hazrat mentions the first thing is Ahlullah ki musahabat. Always stay in the company of the righteous and the pious. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability. And we should stay away from the company of the wrong people. In the Quran Sharif, Allah encourages us, wasbir naftaka ma'al ladhina yad'un. Stay in the company of the righteous and the pious. Immediately after, Allah ta'ala says, and do not ever follow the people whose hearts we have made unmindful of our remembrance. Because they will turn you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wrong company, and the biggest form of wrong company in today's time is the literature a person has got, the media a person is watching, the television, how it plays with a person's mind, it destroys a person's mind. Once many years ago, in Syria, one great alim was walking, and he told his one friend, I'm very frightened, I had a dream last night. I saw a Jew entering the house of every Muslim. So the person said, Allah Ta'ala protect and forbid, inshallah nothing like this will happen, and there's so many Muslim people around here, inshallah the dream won't be correct. So after 1 week he was walking, or 2 weeks he was walking, and he saw televisions on the side of the road. Then he told his friend that this is the interpretation of my dream, that the Jews were coming to every person's house. They will propagate their fitna, their evils. So this television also is a sohbat and company. Sometimes a person is sitting 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours a day in the sohbat and company of the television. What it does to a person's mind, as our buzrugs mentioned, if somebody comes and asks, you can I drink wine in your house? You say, you're crazy, how can you drink wine? Can I fornicate in your house? You'll never ever allow that person. But here the TV comes in the house, he drinks, he fornicates, he does everything in front of the children. So what an example it is for the children. A small child, by the time he reaches the age of 15 or 16, he's already seen 100,000 murders, 200,000 sexual acts. So this is part of his life now, because he has seen, it's brainwashed into a person. So this company of the television is very, very harmful and destructive. All these games also people are playing, they have got many evil, sinister things in there. Allah Ta'ala protect and save us from it. So the sohbat and company of a person is the first thing which will lead a person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sohbat of the awliya Allah is very easy, nothing difficult, just sitting in their company. Our buzrugs mentioned that in this part here a person will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to get taqwa won't only be easy, it will be enjoyable. So this is the first thing. But obviously we must look for the correct Ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You also get many fake people, unfortunately, many people who don't follow Shariat. So we should be very careful and find out from the ulama who are the real Ahlullah, the friends of Allah ta'ala, in whose company we sit, automatically our hearts become disinclined from this dunya and our hearts turn towards akhirat. So this is the first condition. Second thing Hazrat mentioned is gunahu se muba'adat. The second thing to become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to stay away from sins. And one place he mentions asbabi guna sebi muba'adat. Not only the guna and sin, but even the instruments of sin, which will take a person towards sin, a person must stay away from this. Yeah. Sin outwardly is very nice, it's very enjoyable. And a person by nature, he likes, that's why sin is haram, Allah Ta'ala has made it, because there is some benefit in there, but the harm is far greater. As Munashaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullah, gave a beautiful example. One kitab of his, he mentions that there was one youngster staying in a university. So a person staying in a boarding system, a person knows when you're in a boarding, you wait for your mother to send food for you, and then also you like normally hide it away, so the other boys mustn't come and stash your take the food away from you, because you're special from your mother, you send the food from home. So anyhow, this youngster, he brought the food, his mother sent it from the house. So he was walking past his friends, they saw the food. They said, let's play a trick on him. So anyhow, he put it in the cupboard. They went and they picked his lock. They took out the food. And they sat down, they had a nice meal with it. They called him also, gave him dawat also. And they must have told him, you bring the cold ring, you're giving you dawat. So he also, taking the cold ring, the juice, whatever, he went and he sat down. He ate with them. After eating with them, he goes back to his room. He opens the lock, he sees the locker, there's nothing at all. He realizes what a fool he was. His food, at his expense, they invited him for the dawat also, and he had to pay for the juice or the cold ring, whatever. So he got very upset. He said, I'm going to teach them a lesson. So the next day, next week, he went out, he bought some food, and before bringing it back to his room, he went out and he bought some nice jamal gota. Now you know jamal gota is a laxative, very strong laxative. You see, you go to jamal gota 20 times a day, you go to the toilet. So he took a syringe and he started injecting it in the food. And the old food, he put it nice, full of jamal gota. And then he took the food past his friends again, back to the room. So again they said, hey, let's play a trick on him again. So they went, they opened a locker, and they found this lovely food there. So they took it away, they called him for dawat. Because he said, no, today I'm full, I don't feel like eating. So he said, no problem. So they sat down to start eating. So while he started eating now, after 5 minutes, one person is feeling his stomach is paining, his gargar is making some sounds. So he said, excuse me, I have to go to the toilet. So anyhow, he ran to the toilet. While he's sitting in the toilet, his friend comes banging on the door, open. I was saying, you need to go to the toilet. And the next friend is coming, third, fourth, up and down, running in the toilet, out of the toilet the whole day, 24 hours. The inspector, the principal of the school got worried that maybe there's some virus or something here. He called the health inspector. The health inspector came, he said, no, the food was poisoned. Because there was something in the food, that is why these people went through this difficulty. 24 hours, they got a little bit of enjoyment for 5 seconds, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, the taste went in their mouth. But the effect of it was for 24 hours, they suffered thereafter. So as Munashaki Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned, similarly is guna. Thori derki lizzat hamesha ki zillat. For a short while a person gets some benefit. But then after that, the person goes through great, great difficulty. Like these people, for a short while, they call it enjoyment. But then how much they have to suffer 24 hours or 48 hours. So every guna in itself is very, very nice, very, very nice outwardly. It's enjoyable to a person. He likes it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the harms behind it. So Allah has made it haram. Allah loves us. He don't want to make it difficult for us. But Allah ta'ala has made it haram because Allah ta'ala says there is so much of harm for you. In dunya also there is harm for you. In the qabr also there is harm for you. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be harm for you. So stay away from guna. Stay away from sins. The sins completely destroys a person. In every aspect, it destroys a person's worldly life. In certain hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that because of guna and sin, a person is deprived of rozi. Rozi was coming to that person. Sustenance was coming to him. But because of his sins, he's deprived of the day. Another hadith says, the two people have got love for one another. Ma tawadda itnan. The two people have got love for one another. And then they start getting bogus and hatred among themselves. إِلَّا بِالذَّمِّ يُذْنِبُ وَحَدُهُمَا. It's because of a guna and sin one of them has committed. He committed the guna. Now you were looking at other women in the workplace. You were on the internet, on the website. You were looking at haram at night. So what happens now? Your wife is fighting with you. There's arguments at home. There's no love and muhabbat. Now you think, my wife, I don't know what's wrong with her. But you are the cause of it. You made the guna and sin. So because the effect of that was that Allah Ta'ala created the enmity and hatred in this house. Now your children are not listening to you. They are disobedient to you. Why? Because of that guna and sin. Two people had love, but enmity is created because of guna and sin. So even our worldly life becomes a life of misery when a person lives a life of sin. And a person who lives a life of piety and taqwa, he stays away from sin. He becomes a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat said the second thing is, guna say muba'adat, and asbab guna say muba'adat. Even the asbab, the means of guna, which will take a person. For example, you got a cell phone, and you know the cell phone is taking me towards haram. I can't stop myself. So get rid of the cell phone. You utilize a simple phone. There's no need for you to have a smartphone then, because I cannot manage. I got a computer at home, the internet, and I know when I go one day, I'm going to fall into the porn site. So then, a person keep it in such a place, in the room where your wife can see it also, if you have to do work. If you don't need it for work, leave it in the office, don't even bring it at home. And even in your office place, keep it in such a place where everyone can see what you are doing. So a person is safe from guna and sin. We have to look at ways how we can save ourselves, protect ourselves from guna and sin. So the Hazrat says, if you want to become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, second thing is, stay away from sin. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, I will give you one very easy solution. He gave a whole bayan, a 3-hour bayan. But he says, a very easy way for you to come out of any guna and sin which you are involved in. He says, every night before sleeping, read 2 rakats of salat. After reading 2 rakats of salah, think of Allah Ta'ala's bounties and favors upon you, and make tawbah and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, I'm such a useless, what in what bounties you have given me, but I am so ungrateful to you. Ya Allah, please forgive me. Ya Allah, please forgive me. Ya Allah, I've got this guna, I've got this sin. I can't come out of it. Oh Allah, you take me out of it. Another says, continue doing this for a period of 2 or 3 months, and you will see how Allah's help will come to a person. What courage Allah will create in a person. That gunas which he thought was impossible, I couldn't control my eyes, I couldn't control my tongue. Those gunas will become easy for a person to abstain from. And then he has it quotes this ayat of the Quran, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. A person who makes tawbah, he's got iman and he does good actions, you read 2 rakats of salat, then Allah will change the evil qualities of his into good qualities. So this is a very easy way, he says, of Islam and reformation of a person to come out of guna and sin. So this is the second thing Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned. The first one was Ahlullah ki musahabat, the sohabat and company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one, to stay away from all sins, and especially even the means which will lead a person towards sin. Once Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi went to one hotel, they were traveling somewhere in Dubai, so there was a TV there. So Hazrat took a like a cloth and he covered the TV screen. He said, this TV screen is a means of guna and sin. I don't even want to see the outside screen of this here. It mustn't be in my room also, because this is a means of committing guna and sin. So never mind the sin, they never commit the sin even, but even the means of sin, they stayed away from the day. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability. The third thing Hazrat mentioned is that zikrullah par mudawamat, daily to take out some time to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zikr ka naga, ruh ka faqa. When a person stays away from the zikr of Allah subhanahu from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his soul becomes weak. Like physically also, when a person is eating food every day, he's strong. But 2-3 days he doesn't eat food, he becomes weak automatically. So our soul, even the whole life we are feeding our soul, but 1-2 days we stay away from zikr, automatically a person will feel now there's some weakness coming into a person. So zikrullah we must take out. Person doesn't have to make so much of zikr. Tilawat of Quran Sharif, the month of Ramadan will come to an end. Does that mean we must put our Quran Sharif away? But we are reading 5 paras in Ramadan. After Ramadan, 5 pages we can read, 10 pages a day, half a para, quarter para, 1 para a day. Not as much as in the month of Ramadan, but continue making tilawat of Quran. Every day in our life, there must be some tilawat of Quran Sharif. One hadith, Jibreel alayhi salam told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, soon there will be many, many fitnas, evils. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, what's the way out of it? He said, Kitabullah, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to hold firm onto the book of Allah ta'ala, tilawat of Quran Sharif, and our daily zikr of this bihat, third kalima, la ilaha illallah, durood sharif, istighfar, and if you are bare to any sheikh or whatever our mashaykh prescribe to us, whatever zikr they make, but a person must be punctual with his zikr, and we have to make this an object of our life, take out time every day to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Hazrat used to mention very beautifully, Mawlana Abdul Ghani Poolpuri, rahmatullah alayh, that zikr zakir ku mazkur tak pahuncha deta hai. That the zikr will take the zakir, the one making the zikr, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anybody else in this world, you fell in love with one girl called Fatima, 100 times you think Fatima, 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 you'll never reach her. You still have to go, make an effort to go to her. She doesn't even know you, the whole night you're singing songs for her. She's fast asleep, she's dreaming about somebody else, she doesn't even care about you at all. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one time you say, Ya Allah, in the middle of the night, Allah says, my banda, I'm ready, what do you want? So the zikr of Allah ta'ala, when we call out to Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala is answering us. So this is the great power of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing Hazrat used to mention is that zikrullah par mudawamat or sunnato par muwazabat. Hold firm unto the sunnah, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Slowly a person must make effort to bring the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, the simple sunnah of eating, drinking, how much I drink with the right hand, in 3 steps, I must sit down. The sunnah of eating, and the sunnah of dressing, first the right side, then the left side, I must read these duas, and we have to continue learning the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our Hazrat gives a very easy prescription for this, that have a kitab on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for 1 week, just read about one sunnah, keep repeating it every day. You meet other people, tell them about that sunnah also. So in one week, you will get one sunnah in your life. And in 50 weeks, 1 year, 50 sunnahs will come into a person's life. In 10 years, 500 sunnahs will come. Slowly, slowly, a person, sometimes you get a lot of josh, person has to learn all the sunnahs and practice upon them. He does nothing eventually, after that. So start off with one sunnah, or two sunnahs in a week, and slowly, slowly a person builds himself, up. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself and all of us tawfiq, that we understand our object of life is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to prepare our life for akhirat. But more important is to get that connection and feeling and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how will a person get this? By four simple actions. One is to always stay in the company of the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, to stay away from gunas and sins. And if we fall into sin, we make a mistake, immediately make tawbah. Even if you make the same sin 100 times in one day, make tawbah. Allah ta'ala will forgive a person. And number three, to be punctual with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number four, is that a person must try to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, if a person does this, Hazrat Hakim sahab rahmatullah, he says, I got yaqeen in this, that this person will become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't, you don't have to be an alim to be a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A normal person also can be a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever he can be. But if he follows these simple prescriptions, he can also become a very great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grant myself and all of us to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.